grass, ganja, joint, doobie, doo, chronic, ace, lobo, loco, loveboat, bud, buddha, blunt, pot, pat, pin, chiba, chiba, 420, and hashish, or hash for short. It's all marijuana.
This is Marijuana Media.
Come in.
Aye.
It is. I'm sure we've got a Chris Fowler that's just ready to explode about what's going on with this referendum.
Ah, there's so much. Yes, good afternoon, everybody.
Good to see you.
Mate,
I mean,
well,
good to talk to you, sir.
But before we get on to Paula Bongert and her bags of weed that she's waving around in Parliament, because, of course, that's kind of really dominated a lot of the coverage and how many joints can you get in 42 grams and these sorts of things. But just putting it a bit in context, we've come, it seems like so long ago, but it was last Friday, a poll came out, coincidentally, asking the question, how are you going to vote in the referendum? And it found that the support been worried about the drop, seeing all these billboards of evil gummies.
What, mate? You're cutting a little bit. You're cutting out a little bit, mate. Hold still. Hold still, mate. Are you there? Oh, Chris. Chris, are you on your landline? I might have to call you back on your landline, mate. Shit. Well, guess we'll never know. I'm gonna call Chris back right now. I'm just gonna let this bed roll. Enjoy this, Rick James, everyone. Chris Fowley on a landline.
Oh, mate. I tell you what, you wouldn't think that I was living in Auckland, eh?
You actually still sound like you're kind of like Antarctic.
Oh, I know. It's crazy. I blame all this haze wafting over from Australia that I can see just looking out the window. Auckland is covered in it. And as I said last week, get out of that haze and get some proper haze in you. That's actually what. So we had this poll come out last Friday,
yep.
And support had gone right back. So we're back on more people voting yes than no, and that's before this bill has come out. And the other thing that happened last Friday is the Ministry of Health published their latest statistics, just very quietly buried on their website. I'm not reading too much into that, but what it did show was that cannabis use up 26%, or this is self-reported cannabis use, so it's gone from 1 in 10 people
to 1 in 8
people.
People more confident in saying it, maybe.
Yeah, that's right, that's right. We're having a more open and honest discussion, and people are more comfortable talking about it, certainly to a government pollster that's ringing you up in your home saying, do you smoke cannabis? There's more people perhaps that are prepared to do it, perhaps more people getting into medical use too. But anyway, so I had the poll up, the use up, and Michigan, just a couple of days ago, brought in their legal sales, and they have another quite interesting model, and they brought in a few social equity provisions with trying to help people who have suffered most under the current law to be front of the queue in that. Not quite as much as I would really hope for. And then the other big report that I think, well, it didn't really get reported yet, roadside testing, because of course it is going to come up. It's come up because of the referendum. We're already hearing people talk about it today. They're all going to be driving on the roads, rah, rah, rah. So the latest research out of Australia is showing that the spit tests that they're doing in Australia, which is what they're trying to sell the police here, they're associated with both false positives and false negatives. So people that are impaired, that shouldn't be getting away with it, are, and people who are totally innocent are being labelled as a drug driver and arrested and hauled away. So clearly there's a lot of work to go on with those tests, and it's worth noting there that what the police currently do of making people walk a line if they suspect it, so it's kind of obvious, they say, hey, there's something up here, get you out of the car, walk the line, touch your nose, there's a couple of other kind of physical tests like that. That is, all around the world, that is the most associated with impairment. It is the best test that is out there, and it far beats any kind of spit test or device or anything that people are hyping up. So that gives us a bit of context, I guess, of what's going on. And then Are we guessing the baggie yet? You know, Paula, I've got to give it to her. She's quite a skillful operator in terms of they've seen the referendum announcement coming, I guess, and on very short notice, she thinks, how am I going to dominate all the headlines? I know I'll wave a little baggie around Parliament, and that's all it takes.
She's my favourite little maniac in there, I reckon.
Oh, it's interesting seeing the pictures of her in the licensed facility in Canada where she's holding up a huge bag of cannabis with a big smile on her face.
I kind of like how she could easily be part of the Adams family as well.
Yeah, like, I can see that.
Just another cousin. Just another random cousin.
It's your call. Yep.
I'm allowed. Here I am with a microphone. You're saying shit, I'm saying shit. What's up?
Hey, so, should we go over the referendum, perhaps, of what's actually in this bill?
Yes, please,
I've got to say,
mate. Yes, please.
You know, there's a lot of questions, of course, and it's trying to do a lot, and doing it pretty damn well. I think there, you know, it's 9 out of 10 so far, and there's just a few things that we need to sort of work on. But the key thing, and this is, you know, just think about this for a second. This is actually a government creating a regulatory scheme to allow the legal use and possession and purchase of cannabis by adults right here in New Zealand. And that in itself is just something amazing, right? We've been talking about it for decades.
Yeah.
Longer than you've been around, mm-hmm. or I've been around, you know, and here we are. It is finally happening. And so what they're kind of doing, or what they are doing, they're putting a minimum age of 20 on the purchase and use of it. It'll be from licensed premises, which will be like a retail takeaway only type store, and then also a consumption lounge or a place that you can actually go to and consume on the premise. There'll be no alcohol or tobacco sold in either of those two places. So they want to keep it very separate. And I think that's also going to keep a lot of the booze kind of companies and things out of the industry. I'd actually like to see that specifically written into the rules that they can't be involved. But I think separating out the venues like that will mean they're perhaps not so interested anyway. The products will be tested. They'll be true to label. There'll be health messages on the packaging. There'll be no advertising at all, no sponsorships, no kind of funny loopholes where they can get around it. The only advert as such is going to be a price sign next to the counter. But you're not even going to be able to have the cannabis on display.
Hmm.
And it even looks at first reading that you're not even going to be able to see the cannabis before you buy it. And personally, I think that's a bit weird. I think that's going over the top. If people are over 20, they've walked into a licensed premise, they're making that decision to go and look for some cannabis, they should be able to see and maybe even sniff, you know, what it is they're about to get. So that's kind of odd, because you're still competing with the illicit market. Legal cannabis won't be 100% from day one. They've actually got to make these stores and the legal environment more attractive than people's current options, right? So it's got to be cheaper or better or safer or more easily available to them than going to the dealer like they are now. And you've also got to have ways so that illicit people on that illicit side, dealers and growers, who aren't the serious, you know, actual crims, but just people who are on the wrong side of the law, you need some way that they can get into the legal industry. And that's quite interesting, because they've put a schedule in it that says these are going to be the types of people that are excluded, and that schedule's currently empty. And that gives me quite a bit of hope, because if it was just everyone with a cannabis conviction, no matter how small and no matter how far it went back, and that's what the law currently says, you know, it would be there. But the fact that they've created the schedule and haven't populated it yet, that to me shows there's a bit of flexibility, or they want to hear a bit of feedback. Perhaps it's only limited to people with serious violent crime, big drug crime, fraud and dishonesty, those sorts of things. But if you've got a minor pot conviction, you know, who cares? The thing that's got a lot of people talking, and I think it's because it's actually the first clause of the bill, and it was a 65-page bill that was released at 3:30 to the journalists, and they had an hour or so to read it and do their reports for the night. And right up the front, it said you're going to be limited to 14 grams a day and growing two plants. And so that's really dominated a lot of the media coverage. But it's important also to realise there that 14 grams, that's a daily purchase amount. That's not actually what you can have at home.
I just love how everyone's kind of asking their mate that knows, oh, how much is that? Like roughly?
Yeah, well, it's half an O. It's a handful. So it's enough, you know, if you're a hard out smoker and you go, or whatever. And
well, it depends on your illness too, doesn't it? What if you're going head on with something, just go nuts? Sure,
yeah, well,
there shouldn't be a limit then,
14
right?
or whatever, but the idea is that you can go home with a few days' worth or a week's worth and not have to keep going back to the shop all the time. Mm-hmm. And particularly in rural communities, they're actually not going to allow home delivery or mail order or internet sites like they have overseas.
Okay.
Again, I think that's a bit of a mistake, because the very fact that they're so technological in terms of a website, you can track everything, you can get really good data on consumption and use, and all of that could be going back to the regulatory agency so they can see how the market's functioning. I'm sure you can do that in retail stores too, but it just seems to me that it's a lot easier to do it with mail order, and it avoids, you know, stores on the high street that are kind of might be annoying the straight sections of the community, shall we say. And we saw that with legal high sales and that, and it's really important that this is rolled out in a way that it doesn't annoy people that don't consume cannabis. So mail order sites, they allow those in Canada, and it's actually a government-run internet site that all the licensed producers feed into, and then people can just log on and order the cannabis of their choice. And so if you're not allowing mail orders in there, and particularly if you live in a rural environment, you need to be able to visit the Big Smoke and get your half ounce and go home and not have to, you know, come in every day. So that's a lot of the reasoning behind that. And also that if you think about alcohol, tobacco and all the other legal substances, there's no limit whatsoever. I mean, you can not only buy everything that a liquor store has if you had the money to. You could fill your basement with booze. You could rent a warehouse down the road and fill that up if you wanted to. There's no limit whatsoever to how much you're allowed. It's just don't sell it. And everyone knows that. It's not a hard rule to follow. But anyway, it is what it is. What I will say about it, there's a few things like that are kind of like a bit niggly and areas that we can improve, but anything is better than the current situation. Even if we were only allowed 1 gram and we were forced to smoke it in the toilet, it would still be a better law than what we've got now. And that's really important to bear that in mind.
How does the grams relate to the potency of the marijuana, though? That's what I want to know. Like, what if I've just got some legendary shit that's like...
Yeah, they're going to limit it to 14 grams, but that could be 14 grams of something really potent or 14 grams of something really mild.
Yeah,
so we don't quite know. That's still a bit to be worked out. They also haven't said what the tax rate will be, but there will be a tax, and in fact, it will be a levy, and I think that's really important. I've been pushing for this in the choice model that I've put out there, and also in my submissions to the various officials and MPs, that a levy can be directed, but a tax can't. So a tax just goes back to the government. It disappears into their funds. They spend it on whatever. Mm. They might spend it on things that we're interested in. They might not. But a levy gets targeted, and so the good thing there is you can target the cannabis levy to address any harms, right, to increase funding for education, treatment, give the police some money,
to
give
offset
all the community groups
some
money, and then everyone's happy,
yeah,
and everyone goes, great, I got a grant for the school off that cannabis fund, that's awesome. And it's another way of spreading the benefits of the legalization so that it helps more than just people that consume cannabis, but actually makes New Zealand better for everyone.
Hmm.
The other thing, though, is the social equity provisions. It's got this, and I was really heartened to see this, it's in the section on who the licenses will be allocated to. I think it needs to be a bit wider than that, but at least it's a start that it's in there. It doesn't say what it will be yet. So again, I think this is something that they're keen to hear ideas about. And what we mean by social equity is measures that try and address some of the harms that have been caused under the current law and that ensure, for example, that people who have been affected the most are first in line to get a license rather than at the back, that you don't set up a licensing structure where it all gets dominated by huge corporates, especially ones that are owned overseas that take all their profits back there or that are owned by booze companies and so on. So what I'm proposing in the choice model is they use a points-based system. So you have a bit of a formula and with points associated with each one, and you can just jig that formula so that it's virtually impossible for those undesirable types, like the big foreign-owned booze corporates, you know, keep them out, make it, you know, impossible for them to get enough points. And meanwhile, you can give bonus points to people who really should have it so that they're automatically at the front of the queue.
Are you currently spamming Parliament with your, like, choice model, basically?
Trying to. I'm not trying to spam them. We don't want to annoy people, but I think it's definitely worth throwing out there. And, you know, it's a cool name. Everyone can get it.
Oh, it's choice, mate. It's choice with an S.
That's right.
Hey,
that's right.
Chris, I've just quickly got can Chris write a How to Convince My Parents to Vote Yes guide, Le Baby Boomer Generation. Do you reckon you could whip up a couple of paragraphs of some nice points and chuck them on the internet for people, or what?
Oh, I think we could do that. Yeah,
sweet,
for sure.
Just so people have that ammo up their sleeve.
There's a few guides out there already, I think. Particularly with America, there's a few of that kind of thing out there. But yeah, I think that would be really worthwhile, giving people those sort of tips.
Because we're going into Christmas, we're going to be spending a lot of time with our elders. I think
that's
need to have a good bounce up our sleeve to shut down any, like, oh, they get up and they've got like a bung knee or something, go, see, well, you could fucking have
and rather than have that uncomfortable conversation about euthanasia while you're having Christmas dinner with them, you can talk about weed instead.
Yes, this is true. But what's weird is we have to have that conversation about euthanasia. So I'm still uncomfortable about how these are both going to be lumped in the same referendum. But look, it's happening, so that's a bonus.
Yeah, it's happening.
When is it happening, by the way?
Well, it'll be at the election, so, you know, really important that people get enrolled to vote, and we'll be spending a bit of time over the summer trying to do that around all the festivals and things like that.
When's the election?
So when it will be is about next November, is what they're saying.
Okay,
so,
cool.
But you never know. Could be called earlier.
Yeah,
but that's what we're kind of all aiming for.
Okay.
Yeah. And in terms of this referendum bill, people can give their feedback through their MP. There's not actually a public consultation going on it.
Mm.
So all the stuff that you're hearing now, the whole point that they've released it now is to let us have all these conversations over the summer with our friends and family. And also, if you run into them, you run into an MP at an event and that, just tell them you're right into supporting it, but there's a few improvements.
Start with a compliment.
Whatever, but
start with a compliment and then maybe... Yeah.
That's the one. But yeah, that's how they've kind of set it up, is to give the feedback to the MPs, and then there's going to be a final bill come out in March or April, and then we'll have a few months to talk about that and a bit of a public education campaign, and then voting at the election. And it's, you know, no matter what they come up with, vote yes, because a no vote is not just more of the same or a halfway like a decrim. A no vote will send a signal to increase the arrests, and it will get worse. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No matter what they put forward, vote yes.
Okie dokie, agreed.
All right. And hey, one last thing before I go and let you get back to it. K Road, Thursday, it's first Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
We've got some awesome stuff happening at the hemp store and all along the street. So come on up.
What's happening at the hemp store?
Pardon?
What's happening at the hemp store?
The hemp store, we have a 4:20 drag show. There's a band happening at 4:30. No, 5, I think. 5. It might be even now. And to be honest, I can't remember the name. But they're awesome. And go and see them. And then we have this awesome drag show. And we've got a Wheel of Fortune spinning where you can get some prizes and discounts and things. And, of course, it's all very 4:20. And the whole of K-Road's just going to be going off tonight. So get in there.
I wonder if the band will be as good as past bands. Guess it remains to be seen.
Hard to top.
Who
but,
knows,
you know,
mate? I'm sure it'll be great.
See,
but, right? The music's coming up now. We better go, actually.
Better go.
So,
okay.
Thanks, mate.
See ya.
Cheers, mate. Chris Fowley right there.
Do it, man.
That was Marijuana Media.